Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Welcome, everyone, to this morning service. Welcome you that's joining right now online. Welcome. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. Good to be in the house of God on another beautiful, gorgeous day the Lord has created for us here in His presence. Amen. I want to get to the Word right away. I have something to deliver to you guys from the throne of God. And right away, I want to start with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, right now, we come before Your presence. We come before Your throne, Lord, to worship You. Lord, to praise You, to give You honor and glory and praise because You are God Almighty. Lord, You are awesome God. You are a magnificent God. Thank You so much, Lord, for loving us, for caring for us, for being, Lord, there for us. And Lord, we all want to come closer and closer and closer to You. We call upon You now, Lord, to come and dwell, Lord, deeply in our lives. Manifest, Lord, Your power, Your presence, Your glory to all of us, Lord. Move, Lord, in this place. Move, Lord, mightily here, Lord, in Your house. Touch, Lord, all the lives that's watching this right now on the live stream also, Lord. Make Your glory known to Your people. Move, Lord. Move freely. Move freely, Father, in the midst of all of us here. May everyone, Lord, that's watching this right now be touched by the power that is in the Holy Spirit. The power, Lord, of Your blood. And the power, Lord, that is in Your name, Your holy name. Lord, we bless You. Lord, we exalt You. We give You honor and glory and praise. Be magnified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's turn our Bibles here to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 40. Joshua, I didn't give you that this morning, but I'm going to do King James Version today, okay? All right, thank you, sir. I'm going to spice things up a little bit. Some people say preachers don't generally preach out of the King James Version, can't preach out of the King James Version. Well, you watch. You just watch. Praise God. I have nothing against the King James. I think the King James Version is a poetic version. It's actually quite accurate to the original manuscripts. But sometimes we need to understand a little bit deeper. You know, we need to go a little bit deeper in fully understanding what the Spirit is saying. And the Word of God is a living entity. So it doesn't matter what translation you have. The Spirit of God is still in it. The Holy Spirit is still here on earth. So, but I had fun with the King James this week, so I think I'm going to do everything out of the King James Version today. Praise God. Do you have the scripture list there, Josh? I have here Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. You got that? Are we all there? Praise God. There it is. The Word of God reads, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Amen, church. As I've been analyzing a few things here for the past few weeks, actually a couple months, I do these things because I enjoy doing these things, and it also helps me as the way that I process things. I analyze, I watch, I observe, I study the trend. It helps me be a little bit ahead of my game, and maybe I've gotten this from, you know, my 9-to-5 in previous past here. I've noticed how the Lord is doing things and how the church, the body of Christ, is shifting. And I believe that we can all agree that it's shifting towards a revival. The body of Christ. Especially after the pandemic that we just went through, where everywhere churches were being ordered to shut down, to close down. They were ordered to practice social distancing and everything else. Even in today, I hear about pastors being persecuted, literally persecuted. People knocking on their front door, or the police coming and dragging pastors away and arresting them for 24 hours, 48 hours, 3 days, for no reason. It's happening in Canada right now, just over the border. Just absurd, absurd things in California, in Seattle. You know, all these places where there's persecution against the church. And more so than ever, we are calling for revival. We want revival. And the church of the Lord, the church of God, is moving in that direction towards revival. And I've watched certain things. I've looked in the past of what I've talked about. Because generally, these things aren't planned ahead. I'm just being transparent with you, right? I don't plan these things ahead most of the time. Sometimes I do, and it doesn't always work. When I plan something, it doesn't work out. The Lord changes the sermon around. No, you're not going to talk about that. And oftentimes it's within 24 hours or less. So that teaches me a lesson. Don't do that again. Right? And nothing wrong with planning ahead. I've done that before and it has worked. But commonly, I move as the Spirit leads me. Lord, what do you want me to speak about this week? What do you want me to speak about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I wait on God. Sometimes I don't hear, so I go and I pray and I set some time aside and I lock myself up. And then later on, I go and I study these things and I go back and I notice the pattern and I notice the trend of what I've been talking about, of what some men and women of God have been talking about, and we all have a common theme. I've noticed last couple of Wednesdays, Brother Cecil has been sharing about the Holy Spirit. About the gift of the Holy Spirit, about the signs and the wonders, speaking about all these things, you know, special speakers coming in here, speaking about the gifts and the Spirit of God, all pointing towards one thing, and that is revival. And this morning we are going to talk about the path to revival. Because this church here is not going to be a frozen church. Not on my watch. Oh no, no, I will not allow it to happen. This church here is not going to be a place where you just come and you just, you know, fulfill your conscience, you just feed your conscience and everything is fine and I've punched in my time clock and no, we're not going to operate that way. Not us. Not us at all. And I say this with love. I'm not condemning anything. I'm not speaking bad about anyone. We are going to move in the power of the Spirit. But believe it or not, it takes all of us. It takes a full congregation. It's not just the pastor. No, no, no. It's not just the worship team. It's every single one of us, as I'm going to point out this morning. And revival, as we know it, as we think about it, in a way, if you look at it, is somewhat of a modern phenomenon. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The idea of a setting, of setting a few days aside and expecting God to change everything in our church and lives, is something that no one considered up until about 150 years ago. You might still be lost of what I'm talking about. In fact, just a generation ago, one generation ago, revival meetings usually ran for 2 weeks or longer. And not just, okay, we're going to have it for 2 weeks. This was morning time and night time. Every single day. Just one generation ago. If you look back from, let's just say, Azusa Street up until now, if we look back to, was that the Brownsville revival, right? Right? It was all day long. The church didn't close. It was throughout the day, throughout the night, buses and buses lined up, right? I've heard of events where, in, just down the street in Washington, D.C., about an hour away, where it's continuous, on and on worship, day and night, to have these things once a year. Matter of fact, Terry McCallman is part of that. He has a specific time slot. It's a continuous praise and worship. So, just one generation ago, revival meetings ran for 2 weeks or longer, morning and night, or all day long. Now, in a lot of places, when you hear about revival meetings, it's limited to, what, 3 days? Generally? Usually held in the evening time, 3-day events. Nowadays, a 5-day meeting is something out of the norm. It's a strange thing. It's abnormal. And as far as I can tell, the New Testament never records a revival meeting. Never. The church in those days was consistently walking in the power of God. Every single day, everyone, and everyone enjoyed the manifest presence of God and did not need a revival. The power of God was constantly moving, continuously, always. Now, you may say, how about the Old Testament, Pastor? The Old Testament, in the Old Testament times, revival was common, indeed. But they were different than what we call revival right now. Revival always came on the heels of a time where there was a national disobedience. When revival came, it was a time of social, political, and spiritual change in an entire nation. The nation of God, Israel. Things turned around. And most of us agree that in our day and age, right now, in the times that we are living right now, we need revival. We need revival. We need revival in our personal lives. We need revival in our church lives. We stand in need for revival today. We do. What we need to understand is that we will not have revival just because We set aside a week of meetings. Please understand that. We will not have revival just because we have a great, let's just say, preacher. If you consider to have a great preacher here in this congregation, we're not going to have a revival because we got great singers, or we got great musicians, or we might invite a few guest speakers here and there, and then boom, we're going to have revival. That's not it. We need to understand the truth that genuine revival is a time when God moves sovereignly among a spiritually prepared people. And this is where we come in. We must be spiritually ready and spiritually prepared for revival. You want revival? Well, these verses that we just finished reading right now tell us how we can be ready for revival. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to talk about that. These verses tell us about a time of genuine revival. Isaiah is writing about the coming of the Messiah. These verses were particularly fulfilled through the ministry of John the Baptist, starting in Matthew chapter 3. They will see their ultimate fulfillment when our Lord Jesus Christ comes in his second coming to rule as the King of Kings and set things right in the world. That will be a time of revival, such as the world has never seen before or has ever known. While these verses are primarily about the future, they also present what we can call a pathway to revival. They point out the preparation, the preparations the church must make if we want to see our Lord move among us in glory, in power, in spiritual renewal. We know that we need a move of God in our lives and in our church, don't we? Do we feel as though we need revival? Or are you perfectly okay where you are? As far as I'm concerned, I wake up every morning asking the Lord, Lord, I want more. I want more. As God is my witness, as the Lord my God is my witness, every single day I strive for more and more and more. We want to see the blessings that is in verses 5 that we just finished reading right now. Isaiah 40, verses 5, that says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." The Lord has spoken. We want to see that. We want to see. Those blessings are the blessings of one thing, and that is revival. If we make these preparations, I will say that I cannot promise that we will have revival, but I can promise you that we will make revival far more likely than it would be any otherwise. I can promise you that these preparations will form, as the Word of God say, a highway in the desert. Oh, yes. Here, the word highway means raised up. It refers to that which is higher or elevated. Escalated was a direct translation. When we take these steps outlined in these verses, we will be elevated in our living, and we make it far more likely that the Lord will walk among us in His glory. So, I want to point out the preparation that we need to make as individuals and as a church as a whole. The preparation that will help us follow the pathway to revival. And I want you to understand one thing here. This is a preparation sermon. I almost consider this a Bible study, even though it could be a Bible study, but I want you to know and I want you to take in every single thing that's going to be mentioned this morning, because this is going to serve as a pathway for what's about to come. I've been saying this for quite a long time. Something is coming. Something is coming. Let's prepare. Let's prep ourselves. I want to point out a few things to you this morning. Some things will happen, yes. Some things will have to be lifted up. Right here, the Word of God here says in verses 4, every valley shall be exalted. Does it? Does it not? Can you highlight for me verses 4, Josh? I don't have it separated here, but set aside for me real quick. Verses 4. For the online audience. There it is. Every valley shall be exalted. What does this mean? Every valley shall be exalted. Isaiah refers to a filling process. A valley is what? A crevice, right? A low place, per se, right? This speaks to us about the places in our lives that are lacking. We all have low spots in our walk with the Lord, don't we? From time to time. We all have places that we have allowed to become hollow and become shallow. Those places must be filled in before revival can come in your life. I'm going to explain. These valleys come in many different names. I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to start out with the spiritual example and then the physical example in reference to valleys. First, with the spiritual. They come in many, many names. Like, for example, prayer life. How is your prayer life? Is that a valley in your life? Is that a low point in your day-to-day? How about Bible reading? Maybe some of us don't like to read in general. You can't read for a long time, or it gets boring. I find it unique. Maybe a better word is peculiar. Funny. How a lot of people are able to pick up a novel, pick up a fictional, a documentary, whatever, of 1,000 pages, and finish it in a week. But they have such a hard time reading one or two chapters of the Bible. To me, that speaks about power, the power that is in that book. The power that dwells in those pages. Doesn't matter what translation you have. Let's get beyond that. That's nonsense. Doesn't matter what translations you have. When you pick up the Word of God, that is a living entity, a breathing entity, and it works in you, right? Works through your spirit, your soul, your mind. It works in you. And to a lot of us, we have a hard time spending significant time, valuable time, reading the Word and studying the Word, meditating, looking things up, researching, searching, wanting to understand God's Word. That's a valley. That's a low point. How about this one? Church attendance. a lot of folks, this has become a real, real valley. I still wish to see a lot of people here that I haven't seen since the pandemic. Folks that are faithfully watching online, praise God for that. They're feeding their souls. They're feeding their spiritual man. So they're not totally starved. But we all know the difference between being in God's house and not being in God's house, right? The last few Sundays, just the worship alone has been magnificent, has been amazing. A couple of weeks ago, I can barely start preaching. I almost lost my voice. I didn't even know it. You guys saw it. I was like, excuse me. Give me a moment, please. I need to get myself together. Right? In God's house. But to some folks right now, more than ever, this is a reality. Church attendance, to some, is a valley. Something else that I have witnessed, I have seen, is the problem with unforgiveness. To some folks, that is a valley. That's a low point in their life. Because of things they've gone in the past, gone through in the past, their experiences, their hurts. Something very close to that would be guilt, anger. Also included in the list is self-righteousness. These are all spiritual things right now that are valleys. And there are so many things, not just that, so many other things that I can include here in this list. But I'm going to stop right here. All things dealing with the spiritual. How about the physical? What are some valleys in the physical sense? Financial problems. Marital issues. Physical problems. The hardship of life. Relationship and activities that have pulled us away from God. The things surrounding us. I am asking you to look into your life this morning. I am asking you to take a brief moment and analyze things that's happening with you right now. And identify those low places that need to be filled in. And get busy seeing what they have made in you and have created. And ultimately make things right. And if you will, you will be more likely to experience God move in your life. In a genuine, genuine revival. We're talking about the pathway here. We need to get certain things right. So, some things will have to be lifted up out of that valley, out of that pit. Next thing I want to talk about is some things will have to be lowered. Do we still have the same verse here? Why don't you put it back up? There you go. Every valley shall be exalted. And then it says, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Pause right here. This refers to a lowering process. Yes? What does it mean? Would you agree with me that a mountain or a hill is something that stands taller than the landscape that's around you? Throughout history, mountains and hills have always been barriers to man's progress. Yes? They have hindered his or her efforts to explore his world or her world and go where they want to go. This speaks to us about the barriers or roadblocks in our lives that have the potential to hinder a revival that is coming your way. There are many potential barriers to revivals in our lives. Let me just name a few barriers so you could understand. Jealousy, right? Lust, pride, unfaithfulness, hindered relationships. How about worry, anxiety? Let me revert back to worry. Do you think worry hinders something? Slows you down? How about busyness? I'm too busy. That's a mountain. How about fear? Or maybe you might be struggling with guilt. And I feel the urge to repeat this again, because this ultimately could be a mountain in your life that you can't get past through. Again, I'm going to say unforgiveness. That's also a mountain. And so many other things. And while we need to work on some areas of our lives to bring them to where they need to be, we must also work to tear down the barriers that stand between us and what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to move. God wants to move in us, work in us. But there are these things that we're just harboring. There are these things in front of us that we can't just get over. Everyone here, and everyone that's watching right now, has a mountain in their lives. They do. We all have attitudes, actions, and passions that need to be brought down so God can move in like how He desires to. All of us. I have noticed that when mountains are brought down, low places are filled up. Do you understand that? From my observation, from my study, when you remove a mountain, when you bring down this mountain, all of a sudden the valleys are so easy to fill. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I would like for you to look at your life today, and I wish for you to identify those high places that stand as barriers between you and your revival. Take a moment. This is going to be a very intimate sermon today. It'll be a very, very, very intimate sermon. This is between you and your God. And if you don't know, if in case you need help, ask the Holy Spirit to remove those mountains. So, some things will have to be lowered. Will have to be lowered down. Now, some things will have to be lined up. Let me have that verse back again, Joshua. Verses 4, please, if you can put it up. I'm going to start from the beginning. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the path and the rough places plain. The crooked shall be made straight. This refers to getting things lined up like they should be. The word here, crooked, comes from a word that means deceitful, sly, or slippery. It speaks of a road that is deceptive in nature. It promises one thing and delivers another. It appears to be a level, easy way, but when traveled, it proves to be hazardous, and it always leads to a fall. If we want revival in our lives, we are going to have to identify those areas we have taken wrong and the road that we have taken wrong and get back on track to where the Lord wants us to be. Some have gotten themselves into relationships that have led them away from God. It has taken them to a path that they should never have gone. Relationships. How much of a strong influence do you think that a tie, that a relationship will have in somebody's life? It's huge. It's everything to some people. That road is crooked and needs to be straightened out. Some have allowed work, recreation of some other pursuit to lead them away from God. I work too much. I have this meeting and I have that meeting. I work long hours. The list goes on. I'm away from home, etc., etc. That is a dangerous road, and it needs to be abandoned for the straight road of serving the Lord our God. If you want revival, you could only have one or the other. Only one or the other. Some have wandered down a path of self-righteousness and have come to believe that they know what's right for everyone that's around them. Be careful. Be careful. That is a dangerous road, and it needs to be abandoned for the straight path of humility. Some are walking in a crooked path of pride. They refuse to bow to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. They hear His word and turn a deaf ear to His call. They hear the word of God. The word of God speaks to them. The Spirit of the Lord witnesses and speaks to them, but they ignore it because they have a different agenda, because it doesn't fit their schedule, because they're comfortable where they are. So they turn a deaf ear. That, my friend, is also a dangerous path. It needs to be abandoned for the path of humble service to the Lord our God. We have all taken a wrong path here and there. We all have. If we want real revival in our lives and also in this church, we must consider the path our feet are walking right this very moment. You have to consider it. And we must abandon the deceitful, the sly, the slippery path of sin, of pride, of self-righteousness, of worldliness that leads to destruction. And we must step into the path of submission, of surrender, of obedience to the word and the perfect will of God. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I have a question for you right now. In all these things that I just finished saying, my question is this: are you walking a path that God can bless? It's an honest question. Think about it. It's a simple, honest question. I'm going to remind you again, this is going to be an intimate service. It's going to be an intimate sermon. The path that you're walking right now, the way that you're living, the things that you are doing, the way that you chose to do things, is that a way that God can bless? Think about it. Think about it. Moving on. Some things will have to be leveled out. Let me have that verse again, Josh. Verses 4. We're going to start from the beginning. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and every crooked shall be made straight. And here's the final point here in verses 4. And the rough places plain. The rough places plain. This refers to a smoothing process, yes? Smooth. The word rough refers to that which is impossible. It refers to roughness or being bound up. It can even have the idea of being dubious or doubtful. It speaks to those areas in our lives that are a little rough, that are a little doubtful. It speaks to those areas that are questionable. It speaks to those places in life where we know we can do better, but we don't. This is very intimate right now. Think about it. The Bible tells us very clearly how to handle those areas in our lives, those areas of doubt, those areas of uncertainty, those areas of, I'm not sure. Well, the Bible doesn't plainly say it. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not doest this. Right? But it does say this. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, please. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Does it not? That's that gray area. This area of my life is kind of rough. I know I need to work on it, but you know, I'm not too sure. I think I can get away with it. But abstain from all appearance of evil. Stay away. Stay away from it. The Word of God is telling us that we need to examine our lives and deal with those places where we are a little rough around the edges, where we can use a little bit of work. We need to address those areas where we tolerate things that need to be confessed and need to be forsaken. We all do. Again, we all have those places in our lives that are just a little bit rough. We allow ourselves a mile when God has forbidden even an inch. We give ourselves so much slack towards certain things. Things like what, Pastor? Can you name a couple? Sure, I'm glad you asked. The very first one on my list here. Things like gossip. Things like gossip. God hates gossip. And guess who else hates gossip? You do. We do. Nobody likes a gossiper, do they? Certain areas in our life that are a little bit rough. It could be used a little bit of tweaking. How about envy? How about anger? I'm not going to say we can all work on that, because I have some lovely, kind-spirited people here in my congregation that I know, a congregation of the Lord. But we all, from time to time, we got to practice patience, don't we? Yes, we do. But yet we give in and we just fly off the handle, like they say, right? Something else that I'm going to repeat that is a rough area in our lives. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Don't harbor unforgiveness. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're not going to benefit from it. Impure talk could be something that we can work on. Or impure thoughts. Or impure motives. There are 1,000 other areas that can be named right now that could be a rough area of our lives. I am talking about the things that we often see nothing wrong with, per se. Areas that we see that are so minute, so small, or that we have excused as our own little weakness. Oh, I just have this little weakness. No. We all allow those rough places in our walk with the Lord, but they must be made smooth. They got to get smoothed out if we want Him to send us a genuine revival. We got to get ourselves ready, folks. We do. I'm getting ready to close here. I'm getting ready to conclude here. Give me just a few minutes, because I don't want to speak too much and have you forget certain things. I really want us to examine ourselves this morning. I want us to examine ourselves in our lives and things that we do. And I want you to address those things. And I want us to be ready. And making ourselves continuously ready. Let me ask you a question right now. If real revival came, listen to what I'm going to ask right now. If real revival came, what would it look like? It would not be a few days of meetings and then all of a sudden forgotten forever. I could tell you that. It's not going to be inviting a preacher to come over and then have a tent meeting of some sort, or having a prophet or a prophetess or a music team of some sort, and then we would have this 2, 3, 4, let's just say 5-day meeting, boom, revival, and then are we to forget about it? Is that how we view revival in our society today? No. No, 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 no. If real revival came, would every one of you, and I'm going to include you online right now, would you embrace it? Would you embrace it with everything that you have? Or is it just going to be a week-long process? Would it just be a 3-day process? Or would you embrace it? Would you fix those rough places in your life? Would you bring down the mountains in your life? Would you fill the valleys? Would you live this out continuously? Or are you just perfectly okay with a 3-day meeting? Or a 5-day meeting? If revival came, would you leave the church because you like things just the way they are right now? Some people have a hard time adapting to change. They don't like change. I don't like to move. When I was single, when I was a bachelor, I used to, you know, go from job to job. Sometimes I'd have some good times and some bad times, and oh well, I gotta move because I gotta go somewhere that's cheaper or rent's a little bit cheaper. Then here we go. Every year, I can't renew my lease. I gotta go somewhere else. Somebody else is doing a special. I don't like to move, and I think most of us don't enjoy moving either, right? Going up and down steps. Some people don't like change at all. They don't even like to drive a new car. They're perfectly fine with what they have. If they buy another car, it's exactly what they had before. Boring. Anyways. Praise God. But some people, right now, let's bring it back here. Some people are perfectly okay how things are going right now. Pastor, this is perfectly fine. I come and I worship and I free up God's presence. I dance around and I get, you know, all happy inside, and then I walk away. Praise God. And you guys are okay with that? Well now, if the church caught on fire, if people walked in here and can barely stand, if the presence of God is so strong that I cannot preach, I mean, are you going to be scandalized? Hello? The question is, will you embrace it? When you fix these things in your life, when you allow God to have full control of the situation, you know, revival messes things up. Oh, yes, it does. And there's a lot of people that are unwilling to accept change. Their life is perfectly fine. They're perfectly content. Pastor, I think I'm living God's will, and I'm, you know, right here, right, it's worked out for me. And as a congregant here normally says, may God be with you. Right? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. But I want more. I want more. And more of God. And more of God. And more, Lord. Give me more. I want more. Hallelujah. If revival came, what would it look like? I think it would look like verses 5 in Isaiah 40. Joshua, can you put that up for me real quick? I don't have it on the list. Let me have Isaiah chapter 40, verses 5, please. Thank you. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The glory of God, folks, will be revealed. And you think that's going to be just a small thing? It's not. Oh, no. I think it's going to look a lot like a particular situation in time in the book of Acts. Of course, I have to include a couple instances in the book of Acts. Let's read Acts chapter 2. Verses 42, verses 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Steadfastly, continuously. Verses 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen, church. Amen. That would be, in today's day and age, a revival period. That is revival. That's not just a 3-day event. That's not a 5-day event. That's not a 2-week event. That's daily. Daily. Would you embrace it? Would you embrace it? Let me give you another example. I think it would look similar to this if true, genuine revival were to take place. May I have now chapter 4, Acts 4. We're going to read verses 23 through 33, please. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. Before I move on, I want to point out one thing here that needs to be pointed out, that I couldn't help but notice. There is a common denominator here that has to be mentioned, and that is oneness. One accord, one spirit, one mind, one body. No division, no envy, no anger, no strife, no gossip. One spirit, one love, one Christ. Those people moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. When they prayed, the earth shook. The earth shook. We are on top of a hill right now. Let this hill shake. Yes. Yes. Let this hill, miracle hill, shake with the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to be of one mind. We need to be of one accord. We can have revival, but we need to be as one. One. I think real revival, when it comes, will make the church look more like the New Testament model that we just finished reading right now than what it does now. I don't want a 3-day tent meeting revival thinger. I don't want a 5-day thinger revival of some sort. No, I don't want that. You guys can keep that. I want daily. Daily souls. Daily miracles. Daily signs and wonder. We want this place to shake. That's what I want. I think real revival would empower us to do God's work perfectly. Impassion us to reach the lost. To worship God with true enthusiasm. With real, true enthusiasm. And to instruct us in the path and in the way of holiness. To be like Jesus. Like the Lord Jesus. I do not think that real revival would be about counting nickels and noses. No. I do not think real revival would be about emotionalism. Because that's what a lot of people are after. They're after emotionalism. They want to feel good. No. I think real revival would cause the church to fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. All over again. Lord, I love you. I cannot wait to be in your house. I cannot wait to be in your presence. I consider this real revival. When real revival comes, the church will fulfill Romans perfectly. Romans 13 perfectly. Let me show you. Let me have, please, Romans 13, 11 through 14. This is my final verse for this morning. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The word of God has spoken. The Lord has spoken. This is what we need to do today. And until we do, we have not experienced a real revival. Until we address those issues in our lives, we will not experience real revival. This is an intimate sermon this morning. Think about it. Think about it. Is real revival possible? Think about it. Is real revival possible? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I believe it. It will be more likely when we follow His roadmap and prepare the way for Him to come to us in power and in glory. So this morning I will ask you, will you prepare the way for your God? Will you smooth out the rough areas in your life? Will you bring down the high places low so He can fill the valleys with His glory? This is the word of God this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Give Him glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name right now. Lord, we come to you, Lord, right now. We want revival. We want to experience, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. We want, Lord, you to move mightily, Lord, in this place. Mightily. Move, Lord. In a mighty fashion, show us your glory, Lord. Grace us with your presence. Lord, I ask right now that you would touch every single life that's sitting right here in this audience right now. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every life right now, Lord, watching this right now online. May you touch them, Lord, right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Lord, touch their mind. Touch their soul. Touch their spirit, Lord. Touch their body. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we would address, Lord, all those areas that need to be addressed. I pray, Lord, that we will prepare the way for our King, our Lord, our Savior, our best friend. Prepare the way, Lord, for you. I pray, Lord, that we would be humble. Lord, that we would give way, Lord, to you. For us to put away, Lord, all self-righteousness, all pride, anger, envy, gossip, strife. May it be put away, Lord, in Jesus' name. All things, Lord, that have become a barrier between you and us. Lord, we cast those things aside. Break it down, Lord. Tear it down. Lord, I pray that we will hunger more for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would come to you and just lay it all to you, Lord. Lord, here we are. Move in us, Lord. Move in this place. We want more, Lord. We want more and more and more. Lord, we want more of you. More of you, Lord. More and more of you, Lord. We want more. I pray, Lord, that every single one of us will not be happy where they are now. That they would not be content, Lord. And Lord, may it not fall in deaf ears. May they not, Lord, turn the blind eye, Lord, to what the Spirit is showing. To what the Spirit is saying. I pray, Lord, that they will take action. And they will do, Lord, something about it. Lord, start here. Begin with us. May it start, Lord, right here. Right on this hill. And may it move forward. And move on. For the honor and glory, Lord, of your name. And your name alone. And Lord, as we always say, we love you. And we will always love you for as long as we live. Be glorified, Lord, this morning. Be magnified. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.